Hello, this is Brian Tracy, and welcome to this teleseminar on getting out of debt and achieving financial prosperity. Today, with all the things that are happening in the world markets, with prices going up and down and home prices going up and down, is one of the greatest concerns that people have is they very easily, almost like slipping into a hot bath, get into debt. And then when they get into debt, it's very, very hard to get out. When I was 16 years old, I had a friend who went to work at a local department store. And after 6 months, they offered him a credit account so that he could buy stuff on credit. And surprise, surprise, he bought a refrigerator and a stove for his parents because he thought that was a great deal. And then he had to keep working to pay it off. And as soon as he paid it off, he bought something else. And that was over 40 years ago, actually 50 years ago, and he's still in debt. He never got out of debt in his whole life. No matter what happened, no matter how close he got to getting out of debt, he always bought something else. I know you can't identify with that, but here's the basic rule, is that you are in debt today because of yourself, because of your own choices and decisions. And this is the hardest thing for us to accept, because I've been deeply in debt myself. I mean, so deeply in debt, I didn't want to answer the telephones or even park my car near my house, if you know what I'm talking about. And then I realized, like a friend of mine once said, when I asked him, how come you lost so much weight? He lost 30 or 40 pounds. He said, you know something, he said, I found you never gained weight from anything you didn't eat. He said, after that, it was easy to lose weight. And we never get into debt from anything we don't spend. And once you realize that, the most powerful words you can use are the words, I am responsible. I am responsible. In other words, you are in debt because you've decided to be in debt, or at least you have not decided not to be in debt. And this is quite a remarkable thing, is the turning point in your life in any area is when you make a decision. You say, by gum, I am going to get out of debt, and I'm never going to be in debt again. You make that decision, and then you stick to that decision, and the most remarkable things will start to happen for you. In this seminar, I'm going to explain a series of practical, proven strategies and techniques that you can use to get out and stay out of debt faster than you may have thought possible. So let's start off with what I call the magic wand principle. Imagine you could wave a magic wand and make your financial life perfect in every way. What would it look like? Question number one is, how much would you be earning if your financial life was perfect in every way? Now, we'll talk about this in a little while, but many people say, you know, if I could increase my income 40 or 50%, I could solve all my problems, get out of debt, and buy all the things I want and start moving toward financial independence. But the fact of the matter is that if your income did increase by 40 or 50%, you'd spend it all and a little bit more besides, and you'd be back in debt again in no time. And I'll explain why this is true. So how much would you be earning if your life was perfect in every way? And here's what we've discovered. The greater clarity you have with regard to your debts and what you want to pay off, and the greater clarity you have with the amount that you want to earn, the faster you will earn that amount. The reason people don't increase their income, surprise, surprise, is they don't decide to, and then do whatever is necessary to do it. So question number two, wave a magic wand, how much would you be worth if your financial life was perfect in every way? Now, this is one of the most important numbers you ever decide upon. Do you know that two-thirds of retiring Americans reaching the age of 65, are planning to work until the age of 70 or beyond? Can you guess why? That's right. It's because they can't afford to stop. And you know why? It's because they remained in debt most of their lives. They never determined the amount of money they would need to retire. And now, most of them, when you ask them, if you ask them, how close are you to retirement? They say, oh, pretty close. They say, well, let's do an analysis. And they're absolutely shocked. Two-thirds of them cannot retire. And they had no idea. Now, the third question, when you wave a magic wand, is how much passive income would you have each month and each year if your financial life was perfect? Now, this is the critical number. The number is how much would you have coming in, whether you were working or not. And this becomes your focal point throughout your entire working life, is to reach the point where you have that number coming in. And we'll talk about how we achieve this. Always start with your goals, with a clear idea of where you want to be sometime in the future. What are your 10 and 20-year financial goals? That's a great goal. People say, well, I want to be a millionaire in a year. I had somebody come up to me at a seminar and say, I want to be a billionaire in a year. I said, how much are you worth today? They said, well, I'm broke. I said, what sort of work do you do? Well, I'm unemployed. So you're unemployed and broke and you want to be a millionaire or a billionaire in a year. I said, that's just nonsense. Why didn't you concentrate on being a hundredaire or a thousandaire, having $1,000 put away in a year. See if you could do that. If you can do that, then the following year you can be maybe a 2,000 or 3,000 there. Remember, inch by inch, anything's a cinch. By the yard, it's hard, but inch by inch, anything's a cinch. So what are your 10 and 20-year financial goals? 20-year goal is to be a millionaire. The average self-made millionaire, starting from broke, takes 22 years to get there. Now, many people say, well, I don't want to spend that amount of time. Well, these are people who are smart, determined, hardworking, educated, skilled, and so on. It still takes an average of 22 years. Once you get serious. Some people get serious when they're 15 years old. And surprise, surprise, when they're 37 or 38, they're worth $1 million. Some people get serious when they're 30. Surprise, surprise, when they're 52, they're worth $1 million. So give yourself a long-term financial goal, 20 years, and then say how much you would have to be worth in 10 years. And then set a 5-year financial goal. How much would you have to be worth in 5 years? And then you set a series of goals for 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, and then 9 months, 6 months, 3 months, 1 month, and you break it down. Henry Ford once said that the biggest of goals can be accomplished if you break it down into enough small parts. And you start to break your goal down into small parts, it becomes far more attainable. The greater clarity you have, the faster it is that you'll attain it. So that's how you start. Resolve today, make a decision, get your finances completely under control to pay off all your debts and achieve financial independence. Now, what is the definition of financial independence? Probably the best definition is that you have enough money so that you never have to work. You have enough money so that you never have to work again. Now, does this mean that you will stop working? No, but it means that at last you have the choice. Remember, today we live in the knowledge age, the age of the mind worker. And people who work with their minds never stop working. When you have enough money so that you can quit what you're doing or change, you'll want to do something else. You'll want to be busy and active, but you'll want to have the choice. So how do you calculate your number? How do you calculate the number that you'll have to hit so that you never work again? You can go on all the calculators and all the internet, but I'll give you the very simplest way to calculate what is called the number, or for even better, your number. And first of all, you determine your monthly expenses. Add up everything that it costs you to live each month if you had no income at all. So, for example, if your income was cut off, you lost your job, how long could you survive? Calculate how much it would cost for rent, car, food, utilities, and so on. And that becomes your minimum number. This is the number you'll have adjusted for inflation for you to not have money. Then you monthly number, whatever it is, and you multiply it by 12, and this is the amount you would have to be able to stop working for a year. Then you take that annual requirement and you multiply it times 20, it's your lifetime savings goal. Now, the rule is that when you retire, you're probably going to live another 20 years. The last thing you want to do is run out of money. So what you do is you calculate that you can draw down 5% of your saved income per month for the rest of your life, or actually 5% per year. So therefore, if you need $5,000 a month, that's $1,000 a year. Multiplied times 20 means that your number is $1,200,000. When you hit that number, you draw down $5,000 a month forever, and you'll never run out of money. You'll be financially independent. If you need $10,000 a month, you need $2.4 million. If you need $30,000 a month, you need $3.6 million, and so on. Now you have a target to aim at. Next thing you do is financial analysis. You prepare a personal balance sheet to determine your current assets, liabilities, and net worth. By the way, if you apply for a mortgage, you have to put together a personal balance sheet. If you go to the bank, apply, buy a car or anything expensive, you know, I want you to fill out a detailed analysis of everything you have, everything that you owe to get that out. They'll want to calculate how monthly payments are in all areas so they know how much money you have free. In fact, a good exercise is to buy a bank and say, could I loan form? And then fill out the loan form, because those loan forms are hard as death. They don't mess around. They want to know the exact cash value of the thing and the exact cash payment on every debt you have. It's a wonderful exercise for you. start off, you make a list of all of your assets and your cash value. Yeah. So take your home, your car, your furniture, your bank account, the cash value of your life insurance, your savings, your investment. Take up everything that has a cash value. And sometimes people say, well, what about my butterfly collection or all my clothes or my stereo set and things like that? Well, what you do is imagine that you are going to hold a garage sale and sell all your stuff and turn it into cash and leave the country. That's how much it's worth. You know that your furniture is worth about $7 at a garage sale? You may get a little bit more, but after consignment fees, not much more. Is that all of your clothes and all of your personal effects? They may have cost you a lot, but they're not worth very much. Be honest with yourself and say, I had to turn everything in my life into cash before moving away. How much would it be worth? Second, make a list of all your debts and liabilities. How much do you owe? Every single penny. Even include the taxes that you haven't paid if you haven't. Talk about your car, your house, your home, your car, your credit cards. Add it all up and then deduct debt from your assets to get your net worth. This is how much you're worth today, positive or negative. Now, my friend Jim Rohn says, this is what you should do. He says you should add up all your assets and liabilities and calculate your net worth. And this is basically how much you've earned for the number of years you've been working. The average adult at the age of 40 has a net worth of less than $40,000, some substantially less. That means that this person has worked 20 or 25 years and after expenses has made about $2,000 a year. Think about that. Remember, everything else is a lifestyle cost. What you have left over is actually what you have earned in the course of your lifetime. So this becomes your starting point. Now, here's a great question. Why is it that some people spend too much and get into debt? You must be aware of these factors because these are the factors that cause us to slip into debt and to stay into debt. First of all, number one of the worst of all, is called the path of least resistance. Is there's a natural tendency for human beings to do what is fast and easy and quick rather than what is hard and long-term and necessary. All of our social problems today, from crime and welfare, school dropouts, and poor employment activities, poor jobs, are from people who seek the path of least resistance. Now, here's the great tragedy. The path of least resistance is automatic. If you do not deliberately discipline yourself to do the things that are hard and necessary, you slip automatically by default into doing what's fast and easy and quick, including spending money freely and giving very little thought to how you're going to pay it back. Here's number two reason that people get into debt. It's easy credit. It's possible to get credit cards, credit accounts, and easy financing for almost anything. You know, you've heard the stories about dogs being issued credit cards through the mail, children, babies, infants getting credit cards. It's very easy to get credit cards, but credit cards can be devastating because the average interest rate you pay is something like 18 to 24%. Plus, you pay fines and penalties for late payment. My wife is really tough on credit cards. We try to pay them off. We don't try. We pay them off every month. But very often, she'll send in the payment, and then the next month she'll get a dunning notice, a $50 penalty for late payment. And she'll call them up and she'll say, well, wait a minute. We sent in the payment a week in advance, a week before it was due. How come we're getting done for a late payment? And you know what they say in a snarky way? They say, well, you read the fine print. Because on the fine print, we have the right to post your payment whenever we want. And so we decided to post your payment after the due date so we could charge you a penalty. I've heard this several times. The credit card companies are not your friends unless you pay them off every month, in which case they'll hate you. The third reason people get into debt is impatience. It is the inability to practice self-discipline and the desire for immediate gratification. We have this desire to have what we want now, to have fun now, to get something that looks good now. And so instead of being patient and taking the time, saving the money and checking other available options or putting it off, what we do is we jump into it and we buy it. And we say, as we say in Shakespeare, sin in haste and repent at leisure. Now, the fifth reason we get into debt is impulsiveness. This is a tendency to buy things too quickly without enough thought or research. And I personally have made so many mistakes by not taking the time to do the due diligence, to check carefully, to get all the information. I will never make that mistake again. So impulsiveness is something we have to hold back from. Because anything you do repeatedly over and over again becomes a habit. And if you buy things impulsively, you tend to develop the habit of buying things impulsively. Now, the fifth factor, and this is the worst of all, is childhood conditioning. Let me explain this. Is when you're a child, you get your allowance. When you get your first allowance, the first thing you want to do is buy ice with it, and you don't buy clothes and socks. You want to buy candy. And candy is delicious. It tastes sweet. It makes you happy. So you begin to associate your first money with buying candy. And when you get your allowance, each time you get an allowance, sometimes your parents will take you to the store to buy candy. And you want to get candy, you want to get ice cream, and then you get gifts for your birthday from your relatives, and the first thing you want to do is go and buy something sweet, some candy. So you develop an association that when you get money, money, spending it makes you happy. It makes you happy, and you buy candy. Now, as you get older, you buy other things that are the equivalent to candy, the things that make you happy. I've spoken to many women who have been in my seminars, and they said the first thing they do when they get their first paycheck is they go out and they spend it on clothes and cosmetics. They just buy clothes and cosmetics and maybe music and things like that. Is they associate getting money with buying things and being happy, with pleasure. So when you ask a person, what would you do if you won a whole lot of money, the first thing they think of is all the things they would buy. You'll notice, by the way, if you go to any vacation resort or even vacation hotel, is the streets are lined with stores selling trash. They're selling what we call knickknacks, gadgets, useless things. And why? It's because when people go on holiday and relax, something happens in the back of their brain and it clicks on. And what they want to do is they want to go and spend the money and be happy. And so what you have to do is remember that the pleasure from buying things is short, fleeting, and momentary. It goes away very fast right after you buy it. You go out, you buy a new car. Wow. And you drive home and feel happy. And you get, you come in the house, and you see, and the first thing you think is, what's on television? And you get all of the next morning, you go out, oh, there's your car. That's right. You're happy again. Go to work, park the car. You go into the office, the phone rings, you have work to do, you forget all about your car. Things give very little pleasure, and the pleasure is quick and momentary and gone. That's why if you don't buy something, turn around and walk away, you forget it instantly. You even forget about buying it. There are very few things for which you have this passionate desire to buy. So how do you get out of debt? What you need to do, and this is the most important thing of all, is you need to rewire and reprogram yourself with regard to spending. You have to change your thinking from, I like spending money, it makes me happy, to, I like saving money, it makes me happy to have my bank account growing. And every time you think about money from now on, just say to yourself, you know, I like saving money. I like the feel of it. I like the emotion that goes with it. I like to look at my bank statement. I like the feeling of saving money, and I don't like spending money. I don't like the feeling of being broke. So keep talking to yourself and rewire yourself. The deepest emotional needs, going back to Abraham Maslow, that you have are for a feeling of safety and security. What that means is that when you have money saved, invested, it gives you a deep sense. It gives you peace of mind. It gives you confidence and calmness. However, being broke, being in debt, being out of money, makes you feel insecure, nervous. It even makes you feel inferior when you compare yourself with other people who have money. It makes you tense and makes you worried. So it's the most amazing darn thing. Charles Dickens had this wonderful little statement he wrote many years ago, and it says something like this. A person who makes $100 a week and spends $95 is happy. A person who makes $100 a week and spends $105 is in a continual state of stress and discontent. The difference is $5 one way or the other. So one of the reasons why you want to have money in the bank is so that you feel happy, you feel calm, you feel confident. When you sit down with other people who have money, you feel like sometimes you feel superior to people who don't have money. It changes your attitude towards your life. It makes you more optimistic. It makes you a happier person. It makes you feel more powerful. You get all of these benefits from having more money in the bank than you owe. So here are the three keys: verbalize, visualize, emotionalize. Verbalize. I love to save money and watch it grow. I love to save money and watch it grow. Just say this over and over again. Affirm this and repeat it until your subconscious mind accepts it as a new command. Second of all, visualize. See yourself as financially independent. See yourself as though you just won the lottery. You just won $1 million. Walk around, walk, talk, act as if you're financially independent already. Imagine in your mind, if you were financially independent, how you would act, the kind of car you would drive, the home you would live in, the restaurants you'd go to, the vacations you'd take, the things you would do for the important people in your life. And see this. One of the things I did when I was broke is I started to read magazines with pictures and stories and homes of expensive people. For instance, Architectural Digest, Homes Beautiful, Better Homes and Gardens. Sometimes I'd get catalogs from brand new cars, from the dealerships for Mercedes-Benz and BMWs and Cadillacs. And I'd look at those and I'd imagine, okay, I'm going to have those as well. And remember, what you see inside is what you will be on the outside. And finally, emotionalize. Create the feeling. We say, get the feeling of being rich. Imagine if you were rich already. How would you feel? Would you feel proud? Would you feel happy? Would you feel confident? And when you multiply your verbalization, your visualization, times your emotionalization, very quickly, financial life begins to change. Now, getting out of debt, the next thing you do, you're now clear about where you are financially. You've started to change the way you think about money. The next is to start tracking your expenses carefully. So take a piece of paper and make a list of every expense: your home, your car, your food, your utilities, medical, clothing, gas, entertainment, that you have each month. And be honest with yourself. You know, it's amazing how many people decide to lose weight and they get a calorie counter and they write down everything they eat. And so you catch them and you say, hey, wait a minute, you just wrote down a cup of coffee, but you had a piece of cheesecake with a cup of coffee. And you know what they say? Oh, I don't count that. Tuesday is my cheesecake day, so I don't count it. And they can never understand why they never lose weight. So it's really important that you be honest with yourself and write down every expense. Just write down a postage stamp. Write down a pen, a pencil, gasoline. Write down a cup of coffee. Write down every expense. Make a list of every debt you have and the required minimum monthly payment. Add up all your debts and add up your monthly payments. By the way, if you went to the bank to borrow money, they'd make you do this, and they would then cross-examine you on it as though you were an apprehended criminal, because they want to be very clear how much you owe, and they're very clear what discretionary income you have to service any new debt. Once you have the list of it, then you resolve to reduce, control, cut, and minimize your expenses so that you're earning a profit every month. Look at your life. See yourself as a business and a profit and loss business. And what you do is you earn a certain amount of money and you deduct the cost of operation, your lifestyle, and what you have is a profit. Now, here's the rule. All successful people, all successful businesses earn a profit. All unsuccessful people in businesses have a loss. If you have a loss, you have no choice. You either have to borrow the money from your friends, your relatives, or you have to borrow it from credit cards or banks or home equity lines of credit, but you can't run a loss. You've got to have money. The average American today, up to the age of about 40 or 50, spends 110% of their income, and they can't understand why they never get out of debt. So, Number four is create a monthly budget based on your income and expenditures and stick to it. If you're married, sit down with your spouse and say, honey, we've got to have a budget. We have to take a look at exactly how much we have coming in after taxes. And there's an expression that they use in business to measure the success of a business, and it's called free cash flow. This is not the amount that goes into your 401k. It's not the amount that you're overpaying in taxes. Free cash flow is the actual money, cash you have at the end of the pay period after you've paid off everything. So what is your free cash flow? I'll write that down and say, all right, now, what are our expenses? And create a budget. And many people, when they look at their budget, they say, you know, like the person traveling in the farm country, you can't get there from here. They say, honey, our rent is too high. Our car expenses are too high. Our entertainment expenses are too high. We're spending too much money. Well, what are we going to do? Well, what you have to do is you have to take a deep breath and you have to take a slash in your lifestyle. Now, I have children. My two sons, by the way, both recently moved to smaller apartments. Now, I take care of them. One of them has a job. One's in university. But they looked at their expenditures and they realized they have to cut back. They have to live on less than they're spending today. So get a budget and keep to that budget. Is review the budget on a regular basis and make sure you're staying within it. Now, the fifth thing to do to track your expenses is carry a notebook. Get a notebook and write down every cent you spend during the day, as I mentioned. You can get one of these little spiral notebooks that fit in your pocket. They're small. And then as you go through the day, what you do is you just jot down every expense. At the end of each day, look at your expenses. You'll be absolutely amazed. What they have found in psychology is that the very act of tracking your expenses will cause you to spend, will cause you to spend less. The very act of tracking your expenses will make you aware of how much you're spending. You get rid of all your credit cards, except maybe one or two. Some people say cut up all your credit cards and pay cash. Well, there are some places like hotels won't check you in without a large amount of cash. Car rental companies won't rent you a car. There's a lot of things you just can't buy without credit cards. So what you have to do is you have to have your credit cards serve you. And what you do is get rid of all your credit cards except one or two. Cut them up, throw them away. Just discontinue using them. Your credit card companies, by the way, don't want to hear this, but this is one of the smartest things you can do. Then, number seven, make a plan to reduce your monthly expenses by at least 10%. Now, imagine if you put a gun at your head and said, if you don't reduce your monthly expenses by 10%, I'm going to blow your brains out. You'd find a way to reduce your monthly expenses by 10%. You'd be amazed at how clever you would become and how fast you'd become clever. So just make a decision and say, how could we do that? One of the best ways is probably to maybe move to cheaper lodgings. Maybe another way is to sell your car and get a cheaper car. Maybe you should reduce your entertainment expenses, but you could always find a way if you really want to. With this 10%, use this money to start paying off your debts, starting with the debts that have the highest interest rate. Start with the debts that have the highest interest rate and pay those off first. So if you look at your credit cards and the fine print, you may find you're paying 24% interest. And with the 24% interest, it'll take you 30 years to pay off your credit cards. It's unbelievable how compound interest can kill you. Albert Einstein once said that compound interest is the greatest force in the universe. It is so powerful, it'll overwhelm you like an avalanche. So start paying off your debt, starting with the highest interest rate, and make sure you know what those interest rates are, both real and hidden rates. Number nine is resolve to pay cash for virtually everything from now on. When you pay cash for things, you're much more aware of how much you're spending. When you pay credit cards, it's almost like it's not money. It's plastic. You know, people say, well, you're going to pay cash or plastic. You pay plastic. And plastic doesn't seem to be real money. And finally, number 10, and this is really important, is sit down and analyze your financial situation each weekend. You know that people who are in debt very seldom ever look at their financial situation. What they do is once a month they sit down and they pay their bills, including the minimum payments on their credit cards, and then they don't pay attention to it for the rest of the month. But not people who are smart about their money. Every weekend they sit down and they take a specific time, Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, and they analyze their money. They look at how much they have, how much is coming in, how much is going out, how much are they worth. And the very act of doing this changes your attitude toward money. Now, I have studied self-made millionaires for probably 25 years. When I first started studying self-made millionaires, I was deeply in debt and living in a facility. As I'd studied self-made millionaires for 3 years, I was one. But what I found is that every person who goes from rags to non-rags does it by learning the behaviors of self-made millionaires. I've also worked with the people who have done 30 years of research interviewing tens of thousands of self-made millionaires to find out what habits they have that enabled them, of all people, to go from rags to riches in one work lifetime. And there's a lot of them that need to be free. Secret of self-made millionaires is they put financial independence above all other financial considerations. So whenever they have the first question they ask, will this ever hurt me? Will this move me toward financial independence or move me away? And if it's going to move me away, then I'm not going to do it. And they become really adamant about that. Is that becomes their focal point. Their focal point becomes the number. The focal point becomes the number of months and years they can live without working. And they say, will this help or hurt? Now here's the second secret of self-made money, is they practice frugality with every expenditure. In fact, according to the research, the three most common words used by self-made millionaires are frugality, frugality, frugality. They're constantly looking for cheaper ways to get the same result. They're constantly asking for better prices when they're buying. They're demanding higher prices when they're selling. Is they go to swap meets. They go to garage sales. They buy things used. Here's a characteristic of self-made millionaires is they never buy a new car. Why is that? Because the minute you drive a new car off the lot, it depreciates between $5,000 and $20,000, depending upon how much you pay. So self-made millionaires, based on the research, always wait 2 or 3 years to buy a car. They wait till the car has been driven, and then they find a car they like, high-quality car, and they have it checked out carefully. They buy it and save $10,000 or $20,000, which they carefully save and invest and put away, and they drive the car until it falls apart. When I learned this, I'd already bought 2 or 3 new cars. I never bought another new car. From then on, I'd buy a car and I'd drive it for 5 to 10 years. I'd buy it until it was falling apart, and then I'd buy another one and just drive it and drive it and drive it. And that's what self-made millionaires do. Now, number three, self-made millionaires spend 10 to 20 hours per month studying their money and how to invest it and make it grow. This is really important. If we say you become what you think about most of the time, the average adult in America spends 1 to 2 hours a month saving their money. The average self-made millionaire in the field doing the same job with the same education spends 10 to 20 hours, 10 times as much time. As a result, they make far better financial decisions. They're far more thoughtful about their money, and it accumulates more heavily. So getting out of debt, here are the key principles. Number one principle, based on the richest man in Babylon, based in centuries and centuries of how people go from rags to riches, here's the rule, pay yourself. Most people, what they do is they earn as much money as they possibly can. They pay their mandatory bills. They spend and have a good time. And whatever is left over, they save. And in most cases, nothing is left over. Your job is to flip this upside down. And what you do is you pay yourself first. When you get your first paycheck, you immediately slice 10% off the top and put it away and never touch it. Now, when I talk to people about this, they say, well, that's not possible because of my financial situation. Well, your goal is to save 10 to 20% of your income by paying yourself first and then live on the other 80 to 90%. Because whatever you do repeatedly becomes a habit. Now, here's the most interesting thing, is when you were earning $1,500 a month, you lived on $1,500 a month, and you probably didn't. If you're earning $3,000 a month, why you live on $3,000 a month, you've probably been in debt. If you earn $5,000, it's the same. Whatever you earn, it becomes a habit, and you adjust your lifestyle to your earnings. So therefore, if you reduce the amount of money you're earning, you develop of living on a smaller amount. In a very short period of time, you become comfortable on that lower amount. So let's say you earn $2,000 a month. You save $10 a month, that's $100. You say you develop the habit of living within $100, and your $200 would start up. So you can say, but I can't do that right now. It's drastic for me to impact my lifestyle with my bills and my debts and my expenses and my rent and my car payments and so on. So I say, okay, here's what you do, is you start with 1% and you live on the other 99%. So let's say if you're $3,000 a month, a decision today that you're going to save 1% income and live on the other 99%. 1% of $3,000 a month is $30. $30 a month is $1 per day. If your life depended upon it, could you save a dollar a day? And the answer is yes. Every night when you come home, take your spare change and put it in a jar on your dresser and maybe throw in a dollar every so often. And then the next thing you do is financial freedom account. This is what is going to get you out of debt and make you rich. The financial freedom account is your deposit, your saving each pay. And each time you get a little bit of money ahead. Go to the bank, you've got an open account for a little $10. And once a month, go and put in your $30. Go and put in your 1%. Even better, if you have an automatic paycheck deposit, have the bank automatically skim off $30 each month and put it into that account. So you never even see the money. If you never see the money, it's much better. You're probably 1% a month and living at a 99%, and save 2% a month and live on 98. Save 3% a month and live on 97. Here's my promise to you. Within a year, you'll be 10% savings each month and living on the other 90%, and you will not even notice the difference. However, something interesting is happening, is you are reprogramming yourself at a higher level of persistence and responsibility with regard to money. You are developing character and self-restraint. You're developing self-discipline and self-control. As you begin this process, you begin a fundamental change in your life. W. Curt Stone once said that if you can save money, the seeds of greatness are not in you. So the very act of saving money plants you with the seeds of greatness. Become a superior human being by the very act of putting money away on a regular basis. Now, every time you get an extra little bit of money, you sell a lawnmower or take back some bottles or cans with deposits, put the extra unexpected money into this account. And once the money goes into your financial freedom account, you never, never touch it. This is not money you're saving up for a vacation or a car or a house. This is money you're saving up to become financially independent. If you want those other things, as we'll talk about, you open other accounts. But this money goes one way. It goes in and never comes out. Now, step three in getting out of debt is to activate the laws of accumulation and attraction. You have the law of attraction and secret and everything. Here's how this works with money. Start to put money away. As this account grows, it will act like a magnet. It sends off vibrations, and it begins to attract more money. For example, let's say you are earning $3,000 a month, and you're saving 1%, and it works out to $30 a month. At the end of 1 year, you would say, well, that means that $30 a month times 12, I've saved $360. Now, here's the fact. It'll be much more than that. By saving $30 a month, you become a magnet. You start to attract dribs and drabs and bonuses and extra payments. People pay back debts that you hadn't thought about, and you'll say, find at the end of the month, you'll have $500, $800, $1,000 and more from saving $30 a month. Every person I've ever explained this to has been astonished at how fast that account begins to grow when you start to put away a dollar a day. Now, rule number four in getting out of debt is delay, defer, and put off every expenditure. Give yourself 24 hours, the weekend, or even a month before you make a major buying decision. Remember, most buying decisions are impulsive. If you delay on making the buying decision, the chances is you won't make the buying decision at all, and you won't miss the item. The more time you take to decide on a major purchase, the better decision you will make, if you make any decision at all. Now, the fifth way to get out of debt is to break Parkinson's Law. Now, Parkinson's Law says that expenses rise to meet income. This means no matter how much you make, you spend the same amount. And if you make a lot, you spend more. If you make even more, you spend even more, and you never get out of debt. And you have to break this law. You have to resist the natural tendency to spend more as you earn more. And the way you do this is with number six, what I call the wedge formula for financial independence. The word is wedge, like driving a wedge. So imagine that over the course of your lifetime, your income will go up. The natural tendency as your income increases is for you to spend more. But instead, what you do is you drive a wedge between your increasing income and your expenditures. And what you do is you save 50% of your income increase for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, you simply save 50% of your income increase, because it's far easier to save money you don't have. It's far easier for you to resolve today to save money that you don't have yet than it is for you to cut back on current expenditures. Of course, if you can do both, you double the speed at which you become financially independent. This alone, by the way, will make you rich, because in the years ahead, you're going to make more money than you've ever made in your life. In the years ahead, your income is going to double and triple and quadruple, as we'll talk about. And if you just keep saving half of your income increase religiously every month, automatically put away, with a miracle of compound interest and properly invested, your money will grow and grow and grow. A couple of years from now, you'd be astonished at how much money you have in the bank and what a difference it makes in your feelings about yourself. Number seven, open separate bank accounts to get a new home, a car, a boat, and debt reduction. Why? It's because if you're going to use debt reduction, then what you do is you have an account for debt reduction. If you're going to get a home, a car, a boat, you have separate accounts for those. These are not your financial freedom account. Your financial freedom account goes in and never comes out. So in getting out of debt, it's the bucket method. The bucket method is very popular. What it says is you have three basic buckets, let's say 3 plus 1. Bucket number one is your goal is to put 10% away for saving and investment every single month. In bucket number two, your goal is to save 10% for debt reduction and pay 10% against your debt, start with the highest income debts. And bucket number three, you save 10% or more for your home, your car, and your vacations. So out of 100% of free cash flow, 10% goes into three of those buckets, and you live on the other 70%. The final bucket, your regular expenditures, is 70%. Your ultimate goal is to get down to living on 50% of your income, which you can do over the course of the next few months or few years. Once you get to 50%, your whole life will change. Many couples, by the way, make a decision. He will work and pay all the expenditures, and she will work and they'll save everything she makes. And surprise, surprise, by the time they're 40, they're financially independent. And they didn't suffer much at all. They had a comfortable lifestyle. They just saved one full income every single month. So here's another way to get out of debt, is to increase your income. And here's a question for you. What is your most valuable financial asset? Sometimes people say, well, a house, my savings account, my mutual funds. No. Your most valuable financial asset is your earning ability. You have taken your entire working lifetime to develop your earning ability. And if you lost everything, your house, your car, your bank account, but you still had your earning ability, in our society, you could drive tens of thousands of dollars into your life every year by applying your earning ability to the world around you. So your earning ability is the most precious asset you have. And most people take their earnings for granted. Another question, would you like to double your income? And everybody says, yes, they would. And I have good news for you. You are going to double your income. It's inevitable. The average income in America goes up at about 3% per annum. So at 3% per annum, you will double your income with compound interest in 22 years. Is this what you had in mind? Did you want to double your income in 22 years? And the answer is, of course not. You want to double it sooner. When? Now, if you possibly can. Well, here's what I have discovered. The greatest single difference in people is the rate of increase of their earning ability. 80% of people's earning ability increases at 3% per year. But this is not for you. Your job is to learn and practice new skills to become more valuable, to increase your earning ability by 10 or 20 or even 25% per annum, which an individual can do. They follow certain strategies and techniques. If your income goes up at 25% per year, your income will double in 2.7 years. And once you've doubled your income, then what do? You double it again and double it again. The key to success is keep doing more and more of the things that made you successful in the first place. Resolve today to be the best in your field. Resolve today to join the top 10%, the highest income earners in your field. Now, when I first heard this rule, I was a little bit set back because I had never been good at anything. I'd certainly never been the best at anything. I had been fired from more jobs than I could remember. And then I learned something that changed my life. I learned that everyone in the top 10% started in the bottom 10%. Everybody who was doing well was once doing poorly. Everybody who's at the top of your field was at one time not even in your field and didn't know how to spell it or didn't even know about it. So what other people have done, you can do as well. Commit to excellence one skill at a time. Remember, there are never more than 5 to 7 key results areas or any field. Your job is to list what are the things that you absolutely positively have to do in your field to be successful, and then remember what we call the law of 3. 90% of the value of your contribution in your work is contained in 3 things that you do at your job. There's never more than 3. For example, if you're in selling, it is prospecting, presenting, and closing sales. If you give yourself a score of 1 to 10, you'll find that where you give yourself the lowest score is your biggest problem in selling. If it's in management, it is to recruit, train, and manage effectively. If you're a good manager, you recruit the best people, you train them thoroughly, and then you manage them professionally. So ask yourself, what are your 3 most important skills? And here's the question. What one skill, if you were absolutely excellent at it, would help you the most to double your income, double your earning ability, and double your value? Your weakest key skill sets the height on your income. So ask yourself, what one skill, this is your weakest skill, if you were absolutely excellent at it, would help you the most to double your income, double your earning ability, and double your value? What you do is you take this one skill, you set it as a goal, you make a plan, and you work on it every day. And here's my promise. If you get a little bit better every day in this skill, which you can, a month, a year from now, you look back, and you'll be absolutely excellent in that skill area. You'll be getting excellent results. Your income will be up substantially. You'll be more respected and esteemed in your field. You'll be more valuable as a person. You'll be earning more money. You'll be paying off your debts at a faster rate. Your financial accumulation account will be growing. Everything happens when you start to become excellent at what you do. And once you've mastered a critical skill, what's the next step? You ask the question again. Now, what one skill, if I was excellent at it, would have the greatest positive impact on my career? And you set it as a goal, and you make a plan, and you work on it every day. Now, here is the 3-part process for becoming excellent in your field. I have spoken to more than 5 million people in 48 countries over 25 years. I've given this formula to many of them, and I've never had a single person say that it didn't work. In fact, I was in Las Vegas, really, and I said that if you follow this formula over the next 3 to 5 years, you'll double your income. And this fellow came up to me and said, you know, you spoke for our company here 2 years ago, and you gave us that formula. And I believed it, and I practiced it every day. But you were wrong, he said. And then he smiled. He said, I didn't double my income in 3 to 5 years. He said, I increased my income 500% in 2 years. I've never made so much money in my whole life, and I still do it every day. And then there was a woman standing right behind her, and she came in and she said, well, I didn't do as well as him, but I followed those ideas, and I increased my income 400% in 2 years. So here's the 3. Number 1, read 30 to 60 minutes in your field each day. Reading is to the mind as exercise is to the body. So each day, read 30 to 60 minutes. Since the average adult in America reads less than one nonfiction book a year, if you read 30 to 60 minutes a day, that'll translate into one book per week, 50 books a year. Here's a tough question. If you read 50 books a year on how to be better in your field, and then think each day about how you can practice what you're learning, do you think that'll give you an edge? Do you think that'll increase your income at all? I have had more people tell me that the act of reading 30 minutes a day, 30 to 60 minutes a day, one book a week, has tripled their income in as little as a month. They just read four books in their field, which will put them ahead of 99% of people in any field, and they see their income increasing, they see their efficiency increasing. They're absolutely astonished. So what I say, look, if it sounds like a good idea, it doesn't take years to figure out if it works. Just discipline yourself to practice it for 1 month. For 1 month, get up each morning, don't read the paper, don't watch television, just read in your field for 1 hour. And then think about how you could use these ideas during the day. You will be astonished at the accumulative effect of this. Remember I talked about the law of accumulation and the law of attraction? One of the laws of accumulation is getting better and better at your key tasks, little by little. And accumulative power is quite extraordinary. And by the way, as you get better, you attract into your life more and better opportunities to use your increasing skills. So the second key to lifelong learning, lifelong personal and professional development, is listen to educational audio programs in your car. Turn your car into a university on wheels. Turn your car into a mobile classroom. All the time you're traveling around during the day, be learning new things. Stop the material, start it again, think about how you could use it, turn it over in your mind, and then practice it at the first opportunity. The average person in America, even with high gas prices, drives 12 to 25,000 miles per year, according to the American Management, the American Automobile Association. The average person in America drives The average person in America, according to the American Automobile Association, drives 12 to 25,000 miles per year, even with high gas prices. That's the equivalent of 500 to 1,000 hours sitting in your car. That's the equivalent of 20 to 40 weeks of work sitting in your car. It's the equivalent of 1 to 2 full-time university semesters simply sitting in your car as you drive along. So listen to educational audio programs. I've spoken to countless people listening to educational programs to drive around. And number three, key to lifelong learning, is to attend every course and seminar that can possibly help you, live and online. We know that online university enables you to learn the critical skills you need at your fingertips to move ahead rapidly in your career. Remember, to earn more, you must learn more. It is only rapid learning, continuous learning, that enables you to dramatically increase your earning ability. So here's the key. Do fewer things, but more valuable things. Do those more valuable things more often, and get better and better at those key skills that determine most of your income. Let me repeat that. The key to success in life is to do fewer things rather than more things, but do more valuable things, you know, the things in the top 20%, and do those more valuable things more often during the day, and then get better and better at those key skills that determine most of your income. If you are looking for one of the best time management rules in all of history, it is this: get better at the things that pay you the most. Get better at your key skills. Remember, in every field, the top 20% of people earn 80% of the money. The top 10% earn 90% of the money. Your choice is, which one are you going to be? So here's a summary. Here are the 10 keys to getting out of debt and achieving financial independence. And they're the same for everyone. And what they require more than anything else is willpower and self-discipline. Number one, set clear written goals for every part of your financial life. How much do you want to earn? How much do you want to be worth? How much passive income do you want to have each month, so you never have to work again? Number two, do a complete financial analysis of your financial situation today. Many people avoid even looking at their finances, or their finances are so messed up that they don't even want to deal with the reality of it. But getting your finances under control starts with a pad of paper, a pen, and yourself sitting down and writing out a description of your current financial life. What are your assets? What are your liabilities? And what is your net worth today? Number three, draw up a monthly and annual budget and stick to it. Make a list of exactly how much you're going to spend in each of the critical areas of your life, and then discipline yourself to stay within that budget. By the way, here's a discovery. Every act of self-discipline strengthens every other self-discipline in your life, and every act of self-discipline raises your self-esteem and self-confidence. Your self-esteem and self-confidence means that the more you practice self-discipline, the more positive you become, the more confident you become, the greater personal power you have. Number four is reduce, set back, and trim every possible expenditure. Cut those expenditures back in every possible way. Look for ways to spend less every day, every week, every month on every major expenditure. Set a goal of reducing them by 10% from the first day forward. Number five, pay yourself first. Save 1%, then 2%, then 5%, 10%, and eventually 20% to 30% of your income and live on the rest. Live on the balance until it becomes a habit. This will get you out of debt and make you financially independent faster than you can imagine. Number six, practice the wedge formula and save or invest 50% of every increase in your income from now on. Remember, it's very hard to go back and save money from the past, but it's very easy for you to make a commitment today to save any new money that you get into your life. And remember, the years ahead, if you practice increasing your earning ability, are going to be the highest paid years of your life. Just make a decision in advance. You'll save 50% of your increase for the rest of your life. Number seven, open a financial freedom account and do it today. When you get off this phone, go straight down to your bank and open a separate bank account and then deposit every unexpected dollar or every extra dollar you make into it. Put your 1% per month into it, then your 2%, then your 3%, but keep putting every extra bit of money you get into your financial freedom, or what we call your financial fortress account. That's where you build it up to the point where you have so much money that you become a different person, both emotionally and in your attitude. Number eight, dedicate yourself to lifelong learning. Be the best at what you do. Join the top 10%. Your commitment to excellence will have a greater impact on your future than any other single factor. And when you become one of the best people in your field, you'll earn 5 and 10 times as much as the average person in your field. And if you keep doing what we've talked about, filling your buckets, cutting back on your cost of living, saving 50% of your increase, you'll get out of debt and you'll become financially independent, if not rich. Number nine, continually visualize yourself debt-free and financially independent. Keep saying to yourself, I love the feeling of saving money. I love the idea of being financially independent. Visualize and see yourself exactly as you would be if you had all the money that you wanted. And finally, behave, walk, talk, act as if you were financially independent already. And number 10, back up your plans with persistence and determination. Resolve in advance that no matter what the temptation for impulsive spending, no matter what the temptation to buy something new that you don't need, is you're going to persist and you're going to be resolute and never give up until you achieve your financial goal. The best news of all is that we're living in the very best time in all of human history. You are going to make more money in the years ahead than you have ever made before. There will be more opportunities and possibilities for you to achieve financial independence and become wealthy than have ever existed. But they all start with your getting your financial house in order. They all start with your getting your debts paid off and getting ahead of the curve. Remember, if you cannot save money, the seeds of greatness are not in you. But if you can save money, then the greatness that you can accomplish is only limited by your imagination. Thank you. Now let us go to the open lines and let us answer any questions that people might have. Whoever is in charge of this, please open up the line and take questions.
If anyone does have a question, please press star zero. Once again, that's star zero if you have a question. Are we ready for our first question, sir?
Absolutely.
Our first question comes from Paul. Go ahead, Paul. State your question.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Paul.
Thanks for the presentation. I'm taking your advice, and I'm a Brian Tracy University student on leadership, doing your full three modules there and lifelong learning. I've actually, with your help, increased my income in 2.5 years by 100%, doubled it. That doesn't strike me magically financially independent, though. I do have a written plan and knocking down my debts are actually my first thing that I've been pretty successful in achieving. But there's different schools of thought on this, and I wanted to get your take on this. The idea of kind of spreading out my efforts financially of with your bucket idea of debts and savings and then also going after the debts, going after savings, going after the goals. But there is a school of thought, and I think the debt into wealth kind of follows this line of reasoning that you go after the debts. You just go after them like crazy, and every free dollar, and you put it after that, and you just, from the smallest debt to the largest debt, you just knock them down, and then you worry about saving for retirement and saving towards goals, and you just forego all pleasures until you hit that threshold where you've got at least all your non-mortgage debt knocked out. So dispersing your efforts versus focusing your efforts purely on knocking non-mortgage debt out, can you talk to that idea?
Paul, I think it's a great idea. I think it's an absolutely great idea. As a matter of fact, that should always be your first priority, get out of debt completely. My thought is that as you start to get out of debt and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, then you start to get your life more in order. You start to create buckets where you're going to put extra money. But the very first thing should be to become debt-free. Should be number one. So I agree with you 100%. Thank you. Thank you for that observation. And thank you for attending Brian Tracy University. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a very valuable thing. Anybody on the line, I'm not on staff with Brian, so I can vouch for it. It's really a good thing.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Next question.
Our next question comes from Maxim. Go ahead, Maxim.
Hi, Brian. It's Maxim here in Toronto, Canada, calling. I just wanted to say I'm excellent. Thank you very much for asking. I just wanted to say, first of all, I really appreciate all the stuff that you're doing. I actually bought some of your cassette programs about 25 years ago, and I started my first business when I was in my late teens, and my business attracted literally hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of business. And I'm still listening to you after all these years. So I really appreciate all the stuff you've done for so many people.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, the greatest time saver of all is to learn from other people. Don't try to figure it out all by yourself. And so congratulations on your success. That's wonderful.
Thanks very much. The question that I had was in relation to the topic today. One of the things you mentioned was using cash and not using any credit except for one or two items. And, you know, along the way, we've learned from many experts that say we should really try and utilize or leverage other people's money. How would you address it in terms of investments, for instance? You know, many people suggest that we use the bank and other forms of leverage for investments to get ahead and become the ultimate investor. How do we do that without using cash?
Well, the great question. The rule is, can you invest the money safely, dependably, at a higher rate of return than the money cost you? You know, so money's like renting a car. You rent money at the interest rate. The mistakes that people make is that they think that they can make more than they're going to pay, and they end up making less, and suddenly they're in debt. And sometimes they end up making nothing, and now they're hugely in debt. So what I have found, and it's really important, is that the smartest people I know are very, very fastidious about every investment. They do excellent due diligence. I'm sure you've learned this over time, how important it is that you study very carefully every single aspect of the investment before you invest in it at all. Because remember, the only thing that's easy about money is losing it. And so you have to be very, very careful. And, of course, if you have a higher rate of return than the cost of money, I have lines of credit with my company, for example. I have mortgages. I own hotels and property and things like that. And in every case, we are very clear that we can earn more than we are renting the money for. If you can do that and you can do that responsibly, then you should do it. But the first thing is with regard to your personal life is to get out of debt completely. Don't be borrowing money and getting deeper in debt in any part of your life until you have your current debt under control.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from Alban. Go ahead, Alban.
Hello. Do you have any idea or anything that actually removes any kind of physical pain and suffering from your life, like if you ever going to get in the future?
I'm sorry, what is the question?
My question is, like, if you get into any kind of physical violence or, like, physical problem, do you have any idea that would not make my mind focus on physical outside? I don't know.
If I get into something physical, is that – I don't understand the question. Sorry.
Okay. Physical pain and suffering, how to remove?
Well,
that's what I'm asking.
I really don't have an answer for that on this seminar because our primary concern here is just really to talk about money and get out of debt and achieving financial independence. It's encouraging. It might be a great question for them. But this is not the right place for talking about pain, and there's nothing I could advise you with regard to pain. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know what your pains are. I have no solutions. So if you could ask me something, I'd be much more capable of answering.
Thank you.
Question?
Our next question comes from Bob. Bob, please state your question.
Hey, Brian, listen, I have listened to your going way back years to your cassettes. I've really been edified a lot by your teachings and the things that you've said. Some questions. I run an independent healthcare business, and yeah, I think you've answered this. I mean, the question comes up, do you fund your retirement plan, your profit-sharing plan, IRA, versus getting out of debt? It sounds like you're saying to get out of debt first, whereas many pundits will say, no, listen, fund your retirement plan, because if you do that, that's an automatic tax deduction, and then the tax savings will put you ahead. In both cases, you're saving, okay, but it sounds like you're saying get out of debt first before you would fund your retirement plan. The second part of that question is this, okay, I am becoming very wary of the economic system that we're in. The first 3 months, I already have a fair amount of money in my retirement plan, and I will say this, the first quarter, I have lost bundles of money. How do you invest? What do you recommend investing in? I'm 60% equities, 40% fixed, okay, moderate risk, but I'll be honest, with the trillions of dollars that the government is in right now, people say, listen, you hang on, you have time, I'm 55, don't have forever, but we have bull and bear markets, but can we use the same paradigm today that we have used in the past 20 years, looking at the national debt? Do you think that we are going to have a meltdown at some point and that using that old paradigm of thinking is antiquated at this point? And I mean, I've heard, for example, Warren Buffett is out of the American stock system into gold and whatever. It's a very confusing area. Even if you study the areas of investments, and unless you just really know what you're doing, it's a scary thing.
Yes, it is, and it's a subject I think about all the time. And what I suggest, first of all, if you're deeply in debt, focus everything on getting out of debt. But if you see that you're getting out of debt, you can drive on two tracks. One is finding your IRA or 401(c), 401(c). That's what I do. I do both of them simultaneously. But if you're deeply in debt, just do the one and concentrate, as Paul said earlier, just on getting out of debt. The other thing with regard to investment is, right now, I'm in cash as well, because I'm not sure what the market is going to do. But in America, going back 200 or 300 years, 80% of American history has been growth. And it's been growth, and it's been punctuated by recessions, large and small. Most economists today predict that we will go through a mild recession. Our unemployment rate is at 5.1%, which is very, very low worldwide. Many companies are reporting record profits, even though many of the financial companies which are in the newspaper are not. So and I have also lost money in my retirement accounts as well, as everybody has. But if you look at the stock market today, when Reagan was in power, the stock market was 600 and 700. Today it's 12,000, whatever. And the American economy is essentially very strong. I was talking to an economist recently who speaks to audiences all over the country, and he said, if you want to get a reputation as a great economist, he says, very simply, he said, always predict growth. He said, because of the dynamism of the American economy, it's the most entrepreneurial economy in the world, he said, always predict growth. He said, you would be right 8% of the time. And even if you're wrong, if you keep predicting growth, people, growth will come back, and people will say, what a great economist he was. So now it's time to be careful. I don't disagree with that, Bob. But the American economy is strong, and it will rebound. It's resilient. It has enormous entrepreneurial energies. And it is very responsive demand of the populace, especially as you can see in this coming election. So I think there are many good times ahead of us.
So hang tight is what you're saying.
Just hang tight, be cool.
Stay moderate, then you should be okay.
And you should be okay. And, you know, my friend Ken Fisher, one of the best investors in the world, he's got $46 billion under management. He's beat the averages by 2 points for 25 years. He's very bright. And he said, you know, he said, if you ask a person what's the key to making money in the stock market, they say, well, buy low, sell high.
Right.
And he said, and what is it that the average person does in the stock market? They buy high and sell low.
They buy on emotion.
And he said, when the stock market is low, he said, that's bargain time. Prices are down. That is the time when you do judiciously build up your portfolio. And it's amazing. I was just reading an article, in a cover article in Business Week about a venture-stroke-vulture capitalist. And it shows how he started off with very little money, made a lot of mistakes, and then he started to buy low. He started to buy stocks and companies that were completely out of favor. In some companies, one company he made 700 times his money. In others he made 30 and 40, 50 times his money. He said he's gone from being basically struggling to worth about $19 billion. He just paid $49 million for a townhouse in New York. He said the guy was struggling. And what he did, he started to buy stuff that was really low. I'm not saying that you and I should do that. I'm just saying that he knew something that really smart stock market people do is when everybody is selling, it's the time to start judiciously buying. When everybody is buying, it's the time to start judiciously selling.
So hang in there. You have an optimistic viewpoint.
Yes, I do. I love America, and America is still the strongest economy in the world. And it will go through fluctuations. You know, Bernard Baruch, the great stock market speculator who became one of the wealthiest men in America starting off as a runner on Wall Street, he said, when the market is up for any period of time, eventually an enormous number of people come to believe that the market will always be up. He said, when the market is down for any period of time, eventually an enormous number of people come to believe that the market will always be down. He said, or both are wrong. He said, the market will fluctuate. Just remember, the market will fluctuate.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate it, Brian.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Next question.
Our next question comes from Dr. Renee. Go ahead.
Dr. Renee? Okay, on to the next one.
Our next question comes from Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
Mr. Tracy, I went to one of your seminars back in 1990. And you're the guy that was responsible for me to go out and buy a computer back then. It was in Washington, D.C. But I just wanted to make a comment to share with and by the way, that had a great effect on my sales career. I wanted to share just something on getting rid of debt that I did. I had a little over $42,000 in credit card debt. And I started just to basically do a large chart. And I would fill in the chart on increments of the debt that I was paying off. And looking back on it, that kind of motivated me, and I paid it off in 2.5 years. That was
good for you.
That was young and dumb credit card debt, but just the visual of filling that chart out seemed to really motivate me.
That's wonderful. And getting a visual picture of it is very powerful. It's amazing how few people who are in debt have ever sat down and laid it all out in front of them so they could look at it honestly. They just kind of avert their eyes and hope it's not as bad as it really is.
Oh, yeah, we all have a tendency to delude ourselves and just kind of run from it. But real quickly, when you talk cash investments that you're in, just the general market, well, what are you speaking of exactly?
Well, for myself, I have just liquidated some real estate, so I've gotten completely into cash, money market, and certificates of deposit, just during this period of volatility.
Right.
But then,
right.
But then again, I will go solidly back into the American market.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. I just want to give you that comment, just what worked for me.
Well, congratulations. And to everybody who's listening, create a visual of your indebtedness, and it's amazing how that will kind of stimulate you to paying those debts off and getting debt-free. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sean. Sean, please state your question.
Hello, Brian.
Hello,
my question is, as a business owner, you know, you pay yourself a salary, and ideas is your experience been in terms of the percentages of your business income that you should be saving, investing, you know, putting into employees? I know it's different, but based on an average service business.
Well, geez, there's no answer to that, Sean. It's like, how much money can a person make or should a person make? Is you have to look at the standards in your industry. One of the things that I've done, it's quite legal, is because taxes on dividends and dispersals are lower, is I've lowered the amount I take as income from my company, and instead I take it as dividends. And why? It's because all of your income tax is 15% for Social Security, whereas if you take it in dividends, it's taxed differently. So that's a thing that you can do to lower your tax bill. The other thing is just simply look at your industry and say, what are the norms? You don't have to pay yourself at the top of the industry, and just say to yourself, my primary goal is financial independence. So therefore, I'm going to live on the amount that I need to be comfortable, and I'm going to save everything else.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Our next question comes from An. Go ahead, An.
Hi, Brian. This is An. How are you?
Hello, An.
I'm a new listener. I started to listen to some of your audio, and what caught me today was the topic on getting out of debt. I'm 33, and I got like about $60,000 in debt of credit card.
Yes.
Now, my income ratio is I made about $70,000. Now, what is your advice on like how to start, you know, what strategy, how to start to get that payoff?
Well, if you listen to what we talked about, the starting point is, first of all, put a freeze, stop, like time out in a football game, freeze, is stop using credit cards, don't buy anything. Second of all is to make a list of all the credit cards that you have and the amount that you owe on each one and the minimum payment and the interest rate that they're charging. And then you take the card that has the highest interest rate and you start to save and or pay down 1%, 2%, 5%, 10% of your income every month. Start it off slowly. As we said before, you have to start off fast if you can, but stop the bleeding. Don't spend any more. If possible, cut up your credit cards so that you don't have them, and only use one or two credit cards and they're essential. Use as cash. Very much along the lines of what I just explained to you. And by the way, I'm sending all this out as a series of notes so that you can go through these notes as well.
Okay.
But make a decision today. Make a decision. I'm going to pay this. And you heard what said, Kim, 2-3 years to get pay off $42,000? But you hold plus down and concentrate on increasing your income and saving as much of your income as possible and focus it on that. Set that as your major, major focal point in life, is to be debt-free in 3 years. And if you do that, but meanwhile, at the cost of becoming debt-free, you'll become a different person. You'll become smarter, wiser, more disciplined, more vicious. You'll become smarter. Your whole life will begin to change by getting yourself out of debt.
Okay. I kind of just got part of it because I keep hearing an echo. I'm not sure if anyone else, but it's like in and out, so I'm kind of losing you.
Okay. I think it's probably your telephone because this is a hardwired line into an international center.
Oh, I see.
So good luck. Just keep focusing on getting that. Set yourself your goal, 36 months, and be resolved to pay down debt for 36 months and more if you can.
I see. Thank you.
Good luck.
We have no further questions, sir. If anyone does have a question, please press star zero.
Well, Ms. Fulton, let me wrap this by saying that the rest of your life is the best of your life. One of the very best gifts you can give yourself is to discipline yourself to get out of, because that discipline, getting out of debt, will spread like a glow and improve every other part of your life as well. Thank you very much for being on it, and I look forward to it next time. Thank you, guys. Good luck.